This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's yet another day in this big, hot American summer. You know what that means. Another Lincoln Project ad gone viral on Twitter, bound for the evening news.
Coming up, we're going to go behind the Lincoln Project. Those ads that seem to be driving the Trump world crazy.
This is the new Lincoln Project ad. It's pretty epic, as many of these ads
are. Look, the Lincoln Project, it keeps turning around ads like this so fast. This one went down in about 24 hours.
So when I saw these pictures from Virginia, I thought to myself, that's going to be the next ad. They're going to be running these commercials, showing him golfing amid the pandemic.
Look at that ad from the Lincoln Project. It is astounding to see, really powerful. What's your reaction to that?
The president's detractors tend to enjoy the ads. His defenders on Fox are more critical, but one of the few examples of skepticism from elsewhere on the TV screen came from a cartoon news show, Tuning Out the News, executive produced by Stephen Colbert.
We had our media arm, which is me and I'm expensive, make a new Lincoln Project ad. Take a look
president
at this.
President Trump is the most incompetent, corrupt president in history. And we need to do everything we can to stop him after compensating our strategists complicit in the deaths of countless innocent lives and paying for overhead such as lodging at the W Hotel and the Standard, both of which have fantastic roof decks. Stop this corrupt grifter ruining America. Donate to these savvy grifters who ruined it before and hope you don't look into them.
This month, the Lincoln Project also received the side eye from Jeet Heer, national affairs correspondent for The Nation. Jeet, welcome back to the show.
Always good to be here.
So let's start with a few hits. What have been the Lincoln Project's runaway successes?
There have been several ads on the sort of Russia issues. One with somebody chortling at how much Trump has done for Moscow.
От нашего великого вождя Владимира Путина.
And another, actually a quite powerful ad, featuring a former soldier who had served in Afghanistan.
Months ago, Donald Trump learned that the Russians were paying bounties for dead American soldiers in Afghanistan. He chose to do nothing about it. Donald Trump is unfit to be our commander-in-chief, and that's worse than useless. I'm a pro-life, gun-owning combat veteran, and I can see Trump for what he is, a coward.
An ad after the Tulsa rally.
Hey, Donald, your campaign manager told you a million fans wanted to come to your first big rally. Turnout in Tulsa? A dud. You've probably heard this before, but it was smaller than we expected.
They're all kind of predicated on a psychology of Trump, which I think makes sense if you realize that some of the people who are making these ads are very close to the people who are very close to Trump. I mean, most famously, George Conway, who's the husband of Kellyanne Conway.
So who are these guys?
So these guys are all like, you know, stalwart Republicans going back many decades. They're people that Trump would call swamp creatures. There's Steve Schmidt, top advisor to John McCain in 2008. George Conway was very active in the impeachment of Bill Clinton. John Weaver was in charge of McCain's 2000 campaign.
For Trump, they're swamp creatures. Your article in The Nation is subtitled, "The Lincoln Project Also Peddles Militarism."
This is, I think, for me, the most dangerous aspect of the Lincoln Project, because it's the entry point with the Biden campaign, which is that their argument against Trump is that he's like weak on national security issues. He's weak in opposing Russia, weak in opposing China. And there's elements of the Biden campaign that have been running along this. The ad that we talked about earlier, featuring Dr. Dan Barkoff, a former Navy SEAL. In the ad, he goes after Trump on, you know, these Russia issues, the bounty in Afghanistan. But he says, any commander-in-chief with a spine would be stomping the living bleep out of some Russians right now.
Diplomatically, economically, or if necessary, with the sort of asymmetric warfare they're using to send our kids home in body bags.
So this is an ad which is basically recommending that America take bounties on Russians in the Middle East. And like, I'm not sure I'm comfortable escalating a conflict militarily with another nuclear power.
So while there is a lot of contention around the Lincoln Project, we can safely say that they know how to get views, right?
The way they get views is that they're all very well connected to the media, and they have like their cheerleaders who retweet them. The ads themselves, like if you look at where they're actually running, a lot of them are running Washington, D.C., which is not a swing state. That's where they buy TV time. The only reason to run ads there is you want people in the White House to see it and you want Trump to see it. I mean, these ads are aimed at an audience of one. Their goal is to throw Trump off his balance or make him mad or troll him.
They must have another intended audience.
I don't know. I mean, like Crooked Media did a list of where they're doing their ads, and there's a lot of swing states in the Midwest that they're not running the ads in. The argument that they're making is that they're making ads for Republicans who might have doubts about Trump, who might switch. But I'm not absolutely sure, because a lot of them use kind of like resistance liberal tropes that I don't think a lot of Republicans buy into. I mean, the whole idea of Trump being Putin's puppet, like you already have to have broken from Trump a long time ago to be in that headspace.
So if, as you suggest, by where they're buying the ads and how they use them, that they're really trying to get Trump's goat, I have two questions for you. First of all, do you think it's working? And second of all, why? I mean, they have gotten a lot of Democratic money, a huge amount of it, really. What's the strategy behind getting Trump's goat?
Well, first of all, I think that they definitely have, because he tweeted about them. They're losers and Conway's a terrible husband. So clearly Trump knows about them and is paying attention. I think the strategy seems to be maybe twofold. One is to throw Trump off his game. Trump is somebody who's very easily trolled and very easily falls into these shouting matches. So if you get Trump thinking about this, that gives him less time to like focus his energy on Joe Biden or whatever.
That is Trump's strategy, throw shiny objects at the media. The Lincoln Project possibly is throwing shiny objects at him?
I think so. I mean, the idea is to get him angry and to get him to say crazy, offensive stuff. The side effect of that also enhances their importance. These are like the classic figure in Japanese culture, the Ronin, samurai without a master. These are people who served Republicans, have served the Bushes, the Romneys, the McCains, and who have no more power in the Republican Party. So like Ronans, what can they do? They have to somehow give importance or meaning to their lives. And I think going after Trump and picking fights with Trump, I mean, I think a lot of them have a very personal animus against Trump, which is that he stole their party away from them.
You know, in an era of grift, the Lincoln Project seems to some critics as just the latest scheme. We have another clip from the cartoon news sketch produced by the Colbert Show last week.
Let's talk about how the Lincoln Project spends all those Maddow viewers' money.
Well, you're going to see our new report coming out in July, which represents our first major period in our campaign that wasn't involved in startup costs and acquisition costs and data costs. And you're going to see that we are putting about 85 cents of every dollar into voter contact.
85% with 15% going to overhead would be a lot better, because right now it's the opposite. 11% goes to independent expenditures and 89% goes to overhead.
Well, as I've said before, you're looking at the startup and acquisition costs from the first quarter. The second quarter is going to show that we have a massive amount of money escrowed in the bank for media and for voter contact this fall, and that our numbers are competitive with any other PAC. And in fact, much better than most.
Well, sure, so that's a lot of cash.
Their second quarter filings have since become available. We looked at them, and by our count, April, May, June, they spent about half of their money on making and promoting the ads, the other half on consulting, lodging, fees, fundraising, I guess what you call overhead. If they were spending 89% on overhead in the first quarter, and we're talking about they're raking in many millions. What's your view of this group on the grift scale?
Yeah, I mean, it does seem pretty grifty in the sense that I'm not seeing a lot of like political effectiveness. I want to underline this, that they have, as of a few weeks ago, the last time I checked, they have not aired ads in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Arizona, or Florida. These are all states that Joe Biden has to win, at least some of them, right? to get to the White House. So I honestly think that there's an element where they figured out a way that they can still be part of the political game, even though they have been shut out of the Republican Party and aren't Democrats. I'd say it's about 60% grift. I think it's also like 30% personal animus and dislike of Trump.
Right. I mean, Vox senior reporter Jane Costin said last week that in some ways, the Lincoln Project is aimed at itself. The iconography, a lot of its principles perfected and used in previous campaigns, sometimes shamefully. Is that the project's key flaw?
They are Dr. Frankenstein, right? Like, Trump is the monster that they've created. And their whole argument is, well, we created this monster. We know how to take him down. A lot of it is aimed at redressing their own personal sins or mistakes of the past.
The Lincoln Project is dealing with the fruit of an orchard planted long ago by, among others, the very guys running the Lincoln Project. Here's a clip from the Colbert sketch.
Trump's failures are much, much worse than George W. Bush's. I mean, Trump is responsible for bad deficit increases, bad corruption, bad racism, and bad countless deaths. But George W. Bush, on the other hand, is responsible for good deficit increases, good corruption, good racism, and good countless deaths.
You know, I miss the Republican Party before it embraced Trump, back when it only laid the groundwork for him.
We so often fail to make a connection between Trumpism and all that came before it. We do suffer from a nasty case of historical amnesia, some of us, don't we?
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely the case. Trump has been a boon to Republicans of the pre-2016 era. We already see, like with George W. Bush, his approval ratings are much higher now than they were even like 5 years ago. Like, if there's going to be any real movement forward, we do have to ask, how did we get here? How did Trump get the nomination of a major party? He didn't invent nasty attack ads or making absurd allegations. He really picked up a lot of stuff from the toolkit that was already there. So I think that trying to whitewash the people who helped make Trump is not enough. At the end of the day, is it enough to kill the Frankenstein monster if Dr. Frankenstein is left free to make many more monsters?
Pete, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Jeet here is a national affairs correspondent for The Nation. Thanks for listening to this podcast extra. Please check out The Big Show on Friday around dinner time, and also our newsletter at onthemedia.org.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.